That's Islands by the XX, because we're talking about islands. This island, our island in particular, with my next guest, Professor David Reynolds, who hopefully is on the line. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Lee. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you too. Now, you've got a new book out, Island Stories, Britain and its History in the Age of Brexit. I suppose before we start talking about islands and Brexit first, what's your book about?
Well, my book is really about how we think about our history, but in a very long process. In other words, I wrote this really because I was concerned about the way that certain kind of sound bites about our history were coming up in the discussions about the Brexit debate, mostly from the 20th century and often about the Second World War. And what I wanted to say is, you know, we have a long history which needs to be taken into account if we want to understand how our relations with Europe over the last, 45 or so years. And that's why I wanted to look at these big themes over a long period, the idea of Britain's rise and supposed decline as a power, our relations with Europe, the notion of Britain and the British Isles, and the empire, that has been a big part of our history as well, and it's helped to make us as much as our relationship within these islands.
And how much of our history, not just where we are now, but what has happened to us in the last 100 years or so, is down to the fact that we're an island? Would it have been a very different history if we'd been part of mainland Europe?
I think it would. I think there's no doubt that in 1940 it was of fundamental importance that we were not going to be invaded, not easily invaded across a land barrier in the way that happened to many countries in Western Europe, France, Belgium, and so on. So the island made a big difference. But, of course, since then, we've moved on. We've moved on into an era of air power, of missiles, of cyber warfare, all of which can change and affect our security, whether or not there are 21 miles of water between us and the French coast. And so I think there's kind of disjunct in a way between the way we still think about ourselves very much as an island nation and are proud of our finest hour as an island nation in 1940, if you like. But in fact, we have become much more interdependent with the continent of Europe in a way that wasn't so true 50 or 100 years ago.
And that island mentality, if you like, that you spoke about, which I suppose, you know, when you're born on an island and it just becomes part of you, whatever political persuasion you are, how does that demonstrate itself? How does it show itself?
Well, I think in that feeling that we can, we were successful in standing alone, standing outside the Second World War. We weren't invaded, and that has gave us a sense of confidence in our independence, which may not be so valid now. But bear in mind, of course, that this view of our, as it were, our consciousness of our island and the white cliffs of Dover is very much a perspective from the southeast of England. If you live in northern England, you are conscious of the borders with Scotland, which have been an area of conflict and divide in the past. And, of course, we are part of the United Kingdom, is that other island, Ireland itself, which of course has only belatedly kind of come back to our attention because of the issues of the Irish backstop and so on. And I think we've often forgotten the other borders within our United Kingdom because we are so focused on that sense of the White Cliffs of Dover and our independence.
And that the Dover looking out towards Europe, do you think, given everything that happened in the last 100 years, that Brexit was inevitable?
No, I don't think it was inevitable. Governments made a decision in the 1960s that we needed to take seriously the fact that the European community had developed on the continent of Europe. And we did that for a mixture of economic reasons, but also strategic reasons. The fear that if we did not join in, we would be marginalized in relations with the United States. The United States would develop more of a special relationship with the six in Europe if that project took off and we were not part of it. So there was an always a strategic aspect to it. And what's happened over the last 45 years is that the European Union has developed in ways that have been less satisfactory to parts of British public opinion and political opinion, particularly within the Conservative Party in the end, to the point where there was growing tension. The question then is whether the referendum was the right way to deal with it, a referendum which was a straightforward in-out referendum, as David Cameron had for Scotland as well. Do you want to stay in the Union? Do you want to be independent? And the vote for out then left all the questions, the vote for leave left all the questions about, okay, well, then what exactly does leave mean? How do we relate to the European Union? Because we're still going to have a relationship with the European Union. And that's part of why it has taken so long to get to a position now where we may leave in the next week or two, but, you know, we've had 3.5 years of argument. And, of course, whatever happens on the 31st of October, we're going to have many more years of developing a new relationship with the European Union. It's not as if everything will be transformed on the 31st of October.
And when you were writing this book, David, what kind, you're a historian, but what kind of research did you undertake for it?
Well, a lot of this has grown out of work I've done over the years and thought about. And also one of my beliefs as a historian is it's important for scholarly research to kind of connect up more with the wider public, because history is a very democratic subject. You don't need a, you know, higher maths or complicated jargon to understand it. And it's about things that matter to individual people, to all of us, particularly as we get older, we have more of a sense of being part of the tide of history. So I was writing a book which was intended to pass on some of my ideas about our history to a wider audience, and it's also intended to start a debate. I don't imagine for a moment that people will agree with everything here, but what I'm saying is, you know, for example, we need to think back over the history of our empire. We need to actually bring into our story of ourselves as an island, not just pride that we, in one of the biggest mass campaigns of history, of British history, helped to overturn the slave trade, helped to abolish it. Huge numbers of people protesting, petitioning, and so on. That is rightly part of our something we should be proud of. But we also have to acknowledge that we as a country profited from the slave trade. That was part of what helped us to develop our commercial and industrial revolution and make us a profitable state. So I'm not, as it were, denigrating our past or wanting us to be constantly flagellating ourselves, but I'm saying we need to have a broader and wider sense of our history, of the things that we can justly be proud of and the things that we need to open up as questions about who we have been and where we're going.
And did your opinion on anything change during the writing of the book?
I learned, I mean, any worthwhile project is one where you learn a lot yourself as an author. It's not like it's just regurgitating things you know. I had to take much more seriously Irish history, Scottish history, and it was very useful to kind of imagine how the Scots see the English and the Irish see the English. I also found thinking about the empire, thinking about the issues, as I said, of the slave trade, and also more recently digging into the history of how we have handled immigration from the former empire ever since the Second World War, because the scandal over the Windrush affair, the migrants from the West Indies who were lacked decent papers and were hounded by the Home Office, is only the tip of a larger iceberg about the problems we've had in coming to terms with ourselves as a much more multicultural society. So all those things were issues that I found interesting and important to grapple with, and I've been writing about those as a way of opening up, I hope, discussion and comment, because Brexit isn't just, as it were, an issue about our relations with the continent of Europe. It's opened up a whole lot of other questions about our past, our present, and our future, which we're going to have to address as a country in the next few years.
And you're talking about this at the Festival of Ideas on Monday between 8 and 9pm at St John's College, and also on the 1st of December at the Cambridge Literary Festival. The Festival of Ideas talk next Monday, what will you be covering in that?
I'm looking particularly at, if you like, the crisis of two unions. One is our relationship with the European Union, thinking about it historically, thinking about the Britain-Europe relationship over several centuries, and also the crisis of the Union, meaning the UK. In other words, the issues about where Scotland might go if there's a Leave vote, whether Scots going to have a new referendum, the whole Irish changing relationship on the island of Ireland. These are things which I think we need to understand, not just in terms of the immediate crisis of over Brexit and the political debates over Brexit, but in terms of a longer view of the story of how the United Kingdom came together and how its relationships, the relationships between the four countries, should develop in the future. So those are the two things I'm really talking about, the two unions, if you like, the union with Europe and the union within the UK.
And as you say, it's changing all the time. Are you going to have to write a sequel to this in the near future?
Well, I mean, the book is coming out on the 31st of October as a hardback, and it'll come out as a paperback next autumn. And I imagine there will be a considerable number of revisions and so on in the paperback edition. But this is a really exciting and important part of our history. It poses problems. It also poses challenges. And I'm keen as a historian to offer my own contribution to that larger debate.
Coming out on the 31st of October, you can order it in advance, of course. The book is Island Stories, Britain and Its History in the Age of Brexit by David Reynolds, and it's published by William Collins. Thank you ever so much, David, for taking
my
time
pleasure.
Out of your
Thanks
day
for, to for chat your time, to Lee.